I guess you ought to click it on when we get started.
Yeah.
Okay,
ready?
Not yet.
Okay.
Maybe this is it. What happened to all our people?
Ann is going to the Proverbs class with the ladies.
I know my wife is attending that, yeah.
Okay.
How dare they?
They won't let me in.
That's probably
I heard it's a good class.
It is. Tempting. Yes.
Well, thank you, guys.
I know.
This is better.
Yes.
But I need
yes.
more right
yes.
now.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, again, and I've expressed you guys before, I'm one of my best students here as far as I'm still struggling with anger issues every single day, and it's just I'm just baffled by it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's even a song by Fernando Ortega, and it says, "I will wait for my change to come." Mm-hmm. You know, man is born of woman, his days are few and full of trouble. Mm-hmm. Hello.
That's good.
You might know what song that is?
I don't know. I don't even know the artist.
You got Fernando Ortega? You know
it? Yes.
Oh, man, he's great. You should
write it down.
You can listen. It's kind of old school, really soft, mellow, easy stuff.
I write
stuff.
Down all the Johnny Cash songs.
Yeah. I've been everywhere.
Because I was a Johnny Cash fan.
I couldn't get that on my head this morning.
Yeah, I'm a Johnny Cash fan too, but he's got some pretty dark stuff
he
out
does.
There. He had a very tumultuous life.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what was
Fernando Ortega?
Yeah.
Not that I listen to a lot of music anyway. I'm just trying to keep up with the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Ortega.
With the chilies.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead and kick it off, sir. Also, I think I've plugged this book before, The Cure for Unjust Anger.
Right. You're on. You've been on.
Okay. And it was written in, I actually had printed handouts from this book today, but I was debating whether or not to switch gears. This was written by John Del Nami, who lived from 1571 to 1652.
I guess he knows something.
Yeah, and it's just amazing the insight that they had back then and how things have been kind of just glossed over over the years. And it's just like Christian light.
Right.
You know, we're just barely skimming the surface. And these old Puritan guys, they dug deep.
Right.
And you can find good stuff about them or not. Let's go ahead and let's try it. You got a game? You want to try a little bit of it?
Yeah.
Sure. See what happens. Or she can say, oh, let's quit, let's do something else.
You're adaptable.
I think I'm going to try it.
I
worked feverishly last night putting this together.
Are you a second guesser all the time?
Oh, man. Third, fourth, fifth.
Me too.
I understand.
But
I get anything.
God can use that.
That's true.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, I have been praying about this, and I just pray that you would just enlighten our understanding through your Holy Spirit. That's where the deal is right there. So just thank you for this time and bless us now. And we commit it to you. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to dwell here and to minister to us as only you can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, clear diagnosis and is essential for proper treatment. I'm a big fan of, you know, you got to identify the problem before you can begin to solve it. Here we go.
Did we already pray?
Yes.
Yeah, he just
prayed. Yeah, why don't you pray again? I obviously, my prayer wasn't too effective.
I apologize. I must have been distracted.
No, that's fine.
Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious Lord's Day, and thank you for assembling your saints together to worship you and to pray and lift our voices up in unison. We just pray for the unity of the local body. We pray that this study informs us of our anger and teaches us righteous anger versus the sinful anger that's in the world today, the corrupt world. And we just thank you, Lord, for these people who are willing to share their time and talent and gifts to teach and learn and fellowship together. In Jesus' name we ask of these things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we just switched gears. We're going to be looking at this cure for unjust anger. It's this book here, and
okay.
I just printed some kind of excerpts to kind of do a little preview of the book
okay.
to see what we think about it. because I've been thinking about maybe doing a Zoom class, and I've done one before, but it, I only had two or three people, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But like on Monday nights at 6 o'clock, any of you possibly interested in that? Maybe.
I'll be.
We're talking in February.
Yeah.
So you got plenty of time to figure it out.
I have a standing date with my brother on Monday nights.
Okay. Well, we could adjust the date.
As something separate from this class.
Well, it's still anger management. Yeah, it'll be a different, because we're going to complete this book in February 20-something is the last class for this particular. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep it going. And I think, like I was just sharing with you guys, this stuff digs much deeper into the real anger and the anger issues. And even if you don't have that yourself, you can maybe help other people who do.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. And there's people out there probably that would prefer being in a online class.
Yeah, it's not intimidating. Yeah.
I guess I don't. I'm not one to be one of those. But
can you do Zoom? I don't want to. I'll leave you out. You need to get on there.
That's okay. You
okay.
Can leave me out.
My wife does a Zoom class with our secular anger management business that
right.
we've been doing for years,
right.
and she has 20-25 people.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the beauty is, you can just sit at home
yeah.
in the comfort of your home and do the class, and everybody can.
Oh,
yeah.
I think you'd probably gain people from the church.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to kind of start putting that out there.
All these
okay.
chairs are.
Again, The Cure for Unjust Anger by John Dalnamy, who lived 1571 to 1652. What is about 70, 80 years old? 50. Clear diagnosis is essential for proper treatment. This is as true in the spiritual life as it is in the physical. For when the maladies of the soul are misdiagnosed. Now, what's a malady? We're going to do some vocabulary words here, too.
Sickness.
Problem, sickness.
Disease or ailment, yeah. Are misdiagnosed, moral mischief and mayhem are sure to follow. And certainly it's misdiagnosed in today's permissive, progressive society. Unmortified sin always breeds what?
More sin.
You know, you want to continue in just a little sin, and it grows. And it just perpetuates itself into. But anyway, about people that are late for class.
Yes, yes. We're in the back of the bus. Yes, indeed.
Oh, I got you. Your bus is down for those kind of people.
Oh, no, we're taking attendance. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, how about sign our little sheet, too?
Oh.
Pass the attendance.
And as I was saying before, that's an official document, so be careful how you. Okay, I'm glad you're here, Walker. We're back in the early 1600s with
okay.
these handouts.
I've been there.
And it's been there, done that. And it's from this book here, The Cure for Unjust Anger. And I've gleaned some stuff out of it, and I just want to take a chance and throw it out there and see how we do with it. The Puritans and Soul Care. Now, how many of you are Puritan fans and are familiar with their stuff? Okay, I definitely am.
Yeah.
Only but yes.
The Puritans were pastor theologians extraordinaire.
You.
Did you guys find where we're at there?
Second paragraph.
Okay, all right.
The Puritans and Soul Care.
Yes.
They were pastor theologians extraordinaire. As theologians, they mined the depths of the sacred scripture with profound reverence. And I think we're missing that today. I know I am. Profound reverence over the scriptures, and not just, just kind of lightly reading through it like we tend to do.
Have you ever heard anyone teach that we're all theologians?
Yeah.
To varying degrees, each and every one of us, we have our own viewpoints on theology, and God calls us to grow that, grow that knowledge, grow that wisdom in Him.
That's good.
It's one of the blessings we have.
We're all theologians. That's good. Okay. They mine the depths of the sacred scriptures with profound reverence. And I've been reading the Bible every day for the last 30 years.
Amen.
And I think I've shared with you guys, the more I learn, the less I realize I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because His ways are unsearchable. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
And He illuminates through the Holy Spirit and shows me more and more stuff. For profound reverence for their divine authority and an earnest desire to elucidate, which means... What does elucidate mean?
To make clear.
Bingo. Throw light upon the whole of God's truth for all of God's people. Now, the whole of God's truth, that's from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to Revelation, what, 22:21? Mm-hmm. You omit nothing because it's the Word of God. And this is one of, as pastors, they consistently kept in view the fourfold purpose or use for which Scripture was given, namely, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. And there's another scripture that says something about exhorting one another. Does anybody know where that is? Or is that part of this same scripture?
I think it's another one.
So what does it mean to reprove or exhort someone?
To correct them.
To me, it's kind of a strong word.
It is. You see somebody sinning, you want to exhort them, tell them, you know, like, pull them aside, you know, one-on-one.
That's important.
I see you doing something wrong, and I encourage you to correct that.
Gentleness.
Strengthen your walk with Jesus.
Okay. So reproof can be a gentle, easygoing thing. It doesn't have to, it's exhort, you know, I exhort you. You know, it's pretty strong. And sometimes I need to be exhorted. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to accept it. Like, excuse me, here we are, John.
I think we all know this, that probably the most famous Puritan writing that we know about is Pilgrim's Progress by Bunyan. Bunyan was an amazing Puritan. I said Pilgrim, Puritan. Yes.
Okay.
So that's probably the
now, most. Who was the author of that?
John Bunyan.
Okay, that's right, John Bunyan. Yeah,
John Bunyan was Puritan, so.
Okay.
That's one that most people would recognize. They may not recognize that Bunyan was a Puritan.
Okay. Now they have a lot of. I've been studying them for a while. There's a whole list of people.
Are we keeping these? Because Michelle's.
No, totally. No, yeah, I want you to keep them. No, they're yours to keep. write on it. Scribble on it. Okay. In 1600, as spiritual physic.
Yeah.
Good. I was hoping somebody would know this stuff better than me. To cure the diseases of the soul arising from superfluity of choler. Vince, what does that mean?
That's right. Well, anger, choler.
Choler. It's choler, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Superfluity means unnecessary and redundant. Also, it could mean luxury or extravagance. Choler means anger, infuriation, discontent, rage, hostility. Wow. You guys get the idea.
Yeah.
And I guess that was a popular word back in the day. You don't hear it so much anymore.
No. You never hear it.
Except the personality traits. Mm-hmm. A person who's choleric is hot, mm-hmm. hot-headed.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Boy, I got to write it down.
If anyone wants some verses on exhort, I've got a couple here.
Go ahead.
We got Romans 12:8 and 1 Thessalonians 3:2.
Okay. Go ahead and read those, please.
The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And then for the 1 Thessalonians pastor.
Now, what's the address on 1 Thessalonians?
Romans 12:8.
And what's the other one?
1 Thessalonians 3:2.
Okay, go ahead.
And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith.
Again, exhort is strong. Sometimes, you know what? Give it to me. I need to hear this. It's important for me. Instead of, what do you think, Walker?
I think exhort, it's sort of almost a command from Paul. Yeah. At that point, using that terminology.
Mm-hmm. Exhort. Okay, that's good. Okay, practicality. Deonami writes, as a skilled practitioner who has assembled a comprehensive moral and spiritual pharmacy for treating sin-sick souls. Now, I like the comparison to the medical, you know. Any comments on that? Okay, piety or godly reverence. Deonami is not content to simply prescribe things to do. He is not a superficial physician. and he does not heal the wounds of God's people slightly. And Jeremiah 6:14, somebody read that.
They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace.
Okay, I think, of, you know, since I work in that field, I think about the whole psychiatric thing. They're telling those people, peace, peace, be calm, do this. And ultimately, it's not working. It does. There's nothing else that can touch the soul like the gospel of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And they kind of deny that as a viable alternative, if you will. Okay. On the contrary, and back to Delnami, he deeply probes our wounds, showing that the heart of anger is a matter of what? The heart. And what does the Bible say about the heart?
Deceitful.
Above all things, who can know it?
Desperately.
Now, can God take a heart of stone and make it into a heart of flesh?
Sure. Absolutely.
And you read that in, what was that in
Ezekiel?
There you go.
26.
So deceitful and wicked does not always, I'm using your guys' knowledge here too, does not always mean the heart can be refurbished and renewed through the whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it's no longer wicked or deceitful. But can that creep in?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's creeping in there, all them little chambers in my heart. Okay, so is a matter of the heart itself, the heart that is not only diseased, but what? Dead in sin. Okay, that goes beyond disease. Well, yeah, he actually died. Okay, the second page. Regeneration, repentance, and sincere faith in Christ's atoning work on the cross. So that's what the heart, this deceitful heart, is in need of. Regeneration, repentance, and sincere faith in Christ's atoning work on the cross. Now, does regeneration come before repentance? Does regeneration give us the wherewithal to want to repent?
Yes.
Because otherwise, we're still dead.
When I read the R's and the sincere faith, the only way that can really happen is through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no Holy Spirit,
regeneration.
Right. It has to. These things follow. So when we pray for people, we pray that the Lord's Holy Spirit would regenerate them. Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's the only way it's going to happen.
That's the only way it's going
to
happen.
Oh, if I just try harder, if I just read more, and I go to church more, and I study this, and I tell you that, it'll...
That's the world's lie, really. You're putting it on yourself. Oh, I'm bringing myself up out of my...
Yeah.
You know,
there's no works-based salvation. It's all from God.
Right.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Oh, there's that word again. And renewal.
Amazing.
And renewal of the Holy Spirit. Wow, thank you, Lord.
By His grace.
So, and yeah, and it goes on. So genuine change, therefore, is what? Wholly dependent on God's saving grace. And I need that. But sometimes He doesn't grant that as soon as I would like for Him to grant that. Because I'm still struggling. Like the pastor just said this morning in today's sermon, forgive, and yeah, and then turn around and forgive, yeah, yeah, and turn around and forgive, and forgive.
7 times 70.
I think I exceeded that limit.
Well, you know, that doesn't mean 490, that means just keep on forgiving.
Again and again and again.
Let's see, Patrick, that's 442.
You're almost there. Just as a quick aside, I read Spurgeon in the morning. And today's writing was about patience.
Mm.
And really good, you know, that we don't always, our prayers are always heard, but patience is something that we all struggle with, and God does not guarantee that this is going to be done right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was a really good lesson, because in our culture, we're very impatient. People outside of the church, people inside, we're just very impatient people.
I agree, yeah.
And it's waiting on the Lord was with the whole thing, wait on the Lord. I thought that was a very good, mm-hmm. and kind of segues right into what we're talking about.
Because we live in an age of instant gratification, mm-hmm. and I'm learning more and more the merits of delayed gratification. And God's telling me to work on long time projects. Lord, it's been a week and nothing's happened. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Give it 6 months and then come back and we'll talk. Yeah.
You know, even praying for unlost friends for years and years.
Yeah.
You know, we're told, keep praying. Yeah. You never know when God might soften a heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, my parents prayed for me for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they had pretty much, that's a wrap with him. You can forget that. But God had a plan, you know.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Genuine change, therefore, is wholly dependent on God's saving grace. Where there was once a corrupt spring gushing forth in polluted streams of sin into the deep gulf of eternal perdition, yikes, Danami writes, now, somebody read, what is there now?
Now there's a fountain of life leading them to depart from the snares of death.
Amen. So that now we have that fountain of life, and I think about that scripture like the dog returns to its vomit, and the pig that was washed to its wallowing in the mire. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm lickety split, I go right back and jump in that mud puddle, yeah. wallowing around in it, you know. But God gets me out, and He hoses me down, and cleans me up. When I was a kid, we used to get so dirty, my mom would have to hose us down outside before she'd even let us out. That's funny.
Cold water.
Okay, yes. So.
Yeah.
That's when you could drink from a water hose.
Somewhere delicious.
I still like to do that occasionally when I'm out in the country. Okay, Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So what does a fountain do? It constantly gushes forth. It's the fountain of life. Mm. And it's living water. Come and drink of the living water. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, this is back about this book. The Cure for Unjust Anger is a book not only marked by clarity and practicality, which I like, it's also marked by piety that reverenced joined with love of God, which the knowledge of his benefits induces, of which Calvin wrote, it is this combination of clarity, practicality, and piety that makes the cure. For Unjust Anger, such an exceptionally helpful book, introduction, may these remedies help either to preserve them from these fever-like fits, which cause people to outwardly tremble as they are inwardly inflamed. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, you guys ever feel that? Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one that does that, am I? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fever-like fits, like, oh, I don't know what came over me, which caused people to outwardly tremble as if as they are inwardly inflamed, calm their heated emotions if they have already fallen into sinful anger. Now, that's me. I've fallen into the sinful anger. Now, how do I calm those heated emotions? How do I take that break, you know, and get back on course? And I'm a firm believer in that. You know what? Let's just keep the line moving. Let's just get over this and move on. Or we can stew on it or lament it for the rest of the day. And that whole thing about don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Well, the Spurgeon lesson on patience comes to mind.
Okay.
It's just look for the fruit that this Holy Spirit has given us through his indwelling and his gifts. Patience is one of those fruit. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the fruit. They're not individual fruits. It's fruit. It's a collection of blessings that the Holy Spirit has given each and every believer. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. The whole, and there may be more. That's what Paul wrote about in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But, if you search the scripture, I think the Spirit will illumine that there's more fruit there than just those.
So it's a gift from the Holy Spirit.
It is.
I can't manufacture it on my own.
Exactly.
And I think one of the things that helps me is once I understand a situation, I can calm down.
That's good. Okay.
Well, I think also the Lord pokes us with our sin. You know, if we're sinning with sinful anger, He, by His Holy Spirit, can poke us and reminding us to repent quickly.
Mm-hmm. Lest I come and, you know, what if you get caught right in the middle of your rage and the Lord calls you into account? God is not mocked. Wherever a man sows, he's going to reap. If you sow with flesh corruption, you're going to reap corruption.
You bring up an example there of, you know, in the middle of your rage, that's where the fruit of self-control comes in, is the ability to discern evil and good, and be able to take a step back, find the biblical truth that, you know, applies to whatever the situation is, and just give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, take this burden away from me. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it on my own. I need the Holy Spirit. You've given me the Holy Spirit. Comfort me.
Was it an Old Testament prophet that spread out everything before the Lord and said, Lord, this is the situation. I cannot do this. I need your help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that Jeremiah or?
Hezekiah.
Oh, that's right, Hezekiah.
Okay. Joe, you make a good point of stepping back. You know, that takes spirit, but also self-discipline, too. Mm-hmm. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit to step away, and just to calm down, you know. And that's a learned response, you know, but empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. I know I don't do that.
Retreat, take things over.
We tend to more go forward rather than stepping back.
We have all these good gifts from God at salvation and promises of God that, you know, we have not only salvation, we have His promises, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit is chief among them in being able to understand His word, for Him to illumine His word, give us knowledge, let us grow in our wisdom.
So He grants wisdom. We can't learn wisdom.
He grants wisdom as we apply ourselves in the word, that he will give us those gifts for our benefit and for His glory.
That's good, for our benefit and for His glory, that God will be glorified. And to me, to ask myself, is this glorifying God? You know, what's going on here? Okay, it's good. Where did I stop?
Chapter one.
Oh, okay. And again, this is just me kind of skipping through the book, highlighting some stuff. And before you guys came in, I mentioned I might want to try to start a Zoom class in February and teach from this book. Or if it works out, I mean, if you guys want to, I don't know what the deal is, but we'll see how it plays out.
So we would not meet on Sunday?
That's I had thought Monday at 6, but that doesn't work for some people. But what would work for you guys?
I think ideally, just a follow-on class to this, it would be like part two of you know, anger and
well, let me talk to the pastor and just see if I can extend it.
This has been really good.
He's talking about after this ends.
Yeah,
after we're done with this.
Like I said, I worked on this last night, and I skipped. Let's do this now.
You know, just as a matter of encouragement for you in your ministry.
But you guys encouraged me. We're doing it, and it's great stuff. This is a great book, but this digs deeper. It digs deep, you know, and that's what the Puritans did. By the way, you know, you guys know there's a Puritan church in Paradise Hills?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you ever been to that?
That's the mother church of this church.
It is.
Really? Mm-hmm. Am I right?
I don't know.
I mean, it's no longer that because it's an OPC church. Am I right?
Yes.
And we used to be OPC.
Yes.
Yes, Carol Kemp. She grew up in that church.
She's been there for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of go out of curiosity and see how they're doing it.
Well, ask and Mary, her husband was one of the founding elders.
Oh. That's not the one with Wallace Fell that went off the deep end, is it?
Was that
the Puritan with Wallace Fell that went off the deep end? Is that the Puritan we're talking about?
Uh-huh.
With Wallace Fell? Okay.
Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church.
Right. Yeah, it's had a history.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very sad
But you actually talk to Mary and Carol.
Okay.
Because
Potomac Street.
They were from there from the beginning.
Well, I drove right by it on my route where I work, and that's what, oh, wow, look at that. And I've been pressing, God, if there's something here, kind of prod me, and I keep getting prodded about it, like,
well,
maybe I should go check it out.
But talk to them, because they went.
I'm sorry, who's Mary?
Peterman, Carol's mother. They sit behind us. Carol Kemp.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have gone to that church.
They founded the church way back.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of changes since then. I mean,
a lot of changes have come.
But according to their website, which I reviewed carefully, they're still pretty much right on. So.
Right. I mean, they have the same standards we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't use instruments. And they sing psalms. Mm-hmm.
Very likely, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying you can get from them sort of the history, because they've kept up with people, and the people that... I mean, there's people with, you know, that know the church and have watched it over the years.
Okay, I just want to bring, okay, chapter 1, be ye angry and sin not. Mm-hmm. Let not the sin go down upon your wrath. That's one of your main scriptures there, as you quote.
It seems like that's an anchor verse of this whole book.
I'm
Ephesians 4:26. It seems like that's the key
it's
verse.
The anchor. Okay, good.
Might be the key verse of this whole book.
Mm.
From what I've told, I've been through the whole book now.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
You mean this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about this book. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, the miserable ruins of our excellent state at creation. Okay, Adam and Eve, and the foul spots of original corruption appear nowhere in the body or soul as clearly as in the affections. Mm. Now, when you hear that word affections, what do you think?
What your heart is drawn to.
Okay. I tend to think, well, I'm affectionate toward that person. But affection can just be how that person affects you.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah. I got it here. These ruins...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, including the affection. These ruins are the lamentable effects following our first parent's sin, and these spots are like a contagious leprosy that has spread from them to infect all their descendants. Now, we're talking about Adam and Eve here. That's where it started, and it's still continuing today.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3, Genesis, really breaks it all that down really good. Resulting in affections, what? Corrupted and disordered. That only the smallest relics of humanity's created purity remain. So we're what God originally created us, we're way, 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 way off the scale there as far as our sinful behavior. We should earnestly labor to reform all our affections, but especially anger, which is the most turbulent and violent affection, if not bridled and restrained. Okay, how do you do that? How do you bridle and restrain your anger? Well, the Bible, be not like the mule with the bit and the bridle. That's me right now. I have the bit and the bridle. You know, you got those blinders on and wop, wop, wop. So don't be like that. And learn to get in touch with the Holy Spirit.
Patrick, I just kind of looked up the content of that Ephesians 4 verse, and it goes on to say in 31, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Mm-hmm. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you.
Mm-hmm. We could spend hours studying that. That's a great passage. I need to go back and review that myself. But again, I keep bringing it back to the power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to make the effectual change.
Yes, that's
I can't there. Make it. I can't do it. Yes. And God's showing me that for some reason again and again and again.
I have a note on 4:26 that I've made for myself, is that even justifiable anger can become corrupted if our entire self is not submitted to God. So He wants us to submit our entire self to Him, every aspect of our lives,
Okay, justifiable anger, that hits close to home with me, because I'm justified in this anger. You did me wrong.
Well, I was sharing a personal experience, but real quick, in summary, but with a relative of mine, and said, but this anger, and I thought I was right, and I believe I was, but it was like, do not let the sun go down while you're still here, and do not give the devil a foothold. Mm. And that was so important to me through that whole process, because I said, if I give the devil a foothold, if I don't forgive this relative of mine for what he has done, then the devil wins. Mm. And that's
one way to look at it. The devil's winning here.
The devil would have won. It would have corrupted me inside. It would have been that rot, that anger rot in there. So that was a really important verse to me during this long process.
We may eventually come around to repent for those behaviors, but what it does is that someone else might see us behaving that way, say an unbeliever, and say, oh, there you go, that hypocrite Christian. Yeah. He gets angry just like the rest of us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it affects your witness. Yeah. Okay, we got to wrap up. We got a couple more minutes here. Where it says P4, we should earnestly labor to reform. Is that right?
Oh, excuse me.
No, we should earnestly labor to reform all our affections, but especially anger, which is the most turbulent and violent affection, if not, okay, that's where I start, bridled and restrained. And the Bible says, don't be like the horse and the mule. You know, it talks about the glance of the eye. I'm doing something wrong, and God goes, my parents used to do that. Just give me that slight little look, that slight little nod, which spoke a lot louder than any words could. My parents were very strong disciplinaries, but I knew that they loved me, and it was discipline administered in love. My dad swung a mean belt, you know, but not to the point of abuse. But that's kind of a touchy for a lot of people, because a lot of people got abused, and it can be a fine line sometimes. If not bridle and restrain, I have chosen this text to help us in this good endeavor. In order to, that's my page 3. In order to show you the way in which anger is to be approved and embraced, and the respects in which it should be avoided and shunned. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a strong word, shunned.
Let me read that again. I have chosen this text to help us to, in this good endeavor, in order to show the way in which anger is to be approved and embraced. So righteous anger is to be approved and embraced, and the respects in which it should be avoided and shunned. So that can be a very fine line. I've just had some recent examples. I'm thinking it's righteous anger, but it can easily twist and turn into unrighteous anger, depending on how you're administering it to those around you. Mm-hmm. Okay, any last comments?
This has been great.
Mm-hmm. This is good. You keep your papers, and we'll just continue with this next week.
Okay. So you're going to check with Joel about continuing?
Oh, yeah. I definitely got to clear it with the boss first.
Okay.
But so you guys would be able to maybe roll it into this book after this class is over?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. And just to further encourage you on your Monday night alternative, if you have other people that want to attend that, you know, I'll attend it to help support you.
That would be great.
But I think a follow-on to this book would be you know, my first choice.
Just keep it going with this other book.
Yeah, keep this going.
Because we can get through this, and it'll I have a feeling it'll segue right into this, because this book has been on my heart for a long time to teach it. So I said, well, just throw it out there and do a trial session to see how it goes over, and I think it went pretty well.
Okay. COVID, Zoom was, I was doing precepts classes, and Zoom's okay, but being with your fellow brothers and sisters, not looking at a screen, it's so much better.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, you want to pray us out, please?
Okay.
You're the man.
All right.
Thank you, Father, that you have given us your word and that we can learn from it every day until the day we die, and then even then we know that in your presence we will still learn, and we thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the mercy that you show us, and help us to be more like you through your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We pray that you would help us to walk in step with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, good stuff, guys. Thank you. Okay, Lord, we'll